Escuelas oficiales de idiomas de Andalucía. Inglés. Nivel avanzado. Comprensión oral. Tarea 1. Escuche la grabación. Elija la mejor opción. A, B o C. El texto se escuchará 3 veces. Ahora dispone usted de 2 minutos para leer las preguntas.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Christiana Manpour, and welcome to a special edition of our program. My special guest, British Foreign Secretary William Hague, here at Lancaster House, the historic British building that was, in 1979, the site of the agreement that brokered the independence of what was then Rhodesia to today's Zimbabwe. Today, though, this is the site of an equally historic conference, and that is gathering African presidents and others to try to end one of the worst scourges that Africa faces these days, and that is wildlife poaching. It's a trade that's worth nearly $19 billion a year, with poaching of rhinos and elephants at an all-time high. Foreign Secretary Hague, welcome to the program. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Britain is doing this once-in-a-lifetime major poaching conference or anti-poaching conference. There's been a law in effect since 1989 that bans the sale of ivory, and yet it keeps going on. What do you expect to be any different after this conference?
Well, many things, I'm glad to say. I think this will be a turning point, provided we all follow it up, what we've agreed here today. This is an important combination of measures, where African countries and many others are going to take new measures to try to destroy the illegal trade, the illegal markets. They will be destroying stockpiles of ivory. Transit countries will be doing more, the countries through whom these products are transported, to intercept them, countries working together, treating this as serious organized crime. Some of the countries where there is demand for these products in Asia, ivory and rhino horn, have been here at the conference and are talking about what they can do to affect demand.
And why is it so crucial right now, in your view?
It's crucial because we're really at the 11th hour, or later than that. Rhino populations have been devastated, with one killed every 10 or 11 hours at the moment. The illegal trade in ivory has doubled in the last 6 years. And this, as well as being a moral issue, that these great animals have as much right to inhabit this world as we do is also a human issue in many other ways. It is feeding organized crime, corruption in some of the countries concerned. There are said to be connections with terrorist groups in some cases. So this has to be confronted, and it's urgent to do so.
China has now made a great show of burning ivory, burning tusks, and it's one of the big demand countries. Vietnam is another one. Yes, the officials understand that they're not meant to be trading in rhino horn, for instance, but there are many, many reports of people going to so-called traditional medicine shops and being offered rhino horn for everything from a hangover to cancer to whatever else it might be. Mm-hmm. How does one stop the demand?
I think we need several ways to attack this. One is governments giving a lead. The governments of China and Vietnam have been here at this conference. They're engaged in this process. We'll work with them a lot more over the next few months and years, so we welcome all of that. And attitudes can change. The Chinese government, for instance, on shark fin soup has taken a lead. Well, that's possible on other things as well. And I think in the modern world with social media, which is well used, including in Asian countries, it is possible for information and understanding and education to spread quickly and attitudes to change. Not everybody realizes that an elephant is killed to obtain ivory. You know, some may think that it falls off, some that it is a tooth of an elephant. Not everybody understands that. And getting that understanding across can be done, and it can make a difference to the demand.
Ahora dispone usted de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Christiana Manpour, and welcome to a special edition of our program. My special guest, British Foreign Secretary William Hague, here at Lancaster House, the historic British building that was, in 1979, the site of the agreement that brokered the independence of what was then Rhodesia to today's Zimbabwe. Today, though, this is the site of a equally historic conference, and that is gathering African presidents and others to try to end one of the worst scourges that Africa faces these days, and that is wildlife poaching. It's a trade that's worth nearly $19 billion a year, with poaching of rhinos and elephants at an all-time high. Foreign Secretary Hague, welcome to the program. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Britain is doing this once-in-a-lifetime major poaching conference or anti-poaching conference. There's been a law in effect since 1989 that bans the sale of ivory, and yet it keeps going on. What do you expect to be any different after this conference?
Well, many things, I'm glad to say. I think this will be a turning point, provided we all follow it up, what we've agreed here today. This is an important combination of measures, where African countries and many others are going to take new measures to try to destroy the illegal trade, the illegal markets. They will be destroying stockpiles of ivory. Transit countries will be doing more, the countries through whom these products are transported, to intercept them, countries working together, treating this as serious organized crime. Some of the countries where there is demand for these products in Asia, ivory and rhino horn, have been here at the conference and are talking about what they can do to affect demand.
And why is it so crucial right now, in your view?
It's crucial because we're really at the 11th hour, or later than that. Rhino populations have been devastated, with one killed every 10 or 11 hours at the moment. The illegal trade in ivory has doubled in the last 6 years. And this, as well as being a moral issue, that these great animals have as much right to inhabit this world as we do, is also a human issue in many other ways. It is feeding organized crime, corruption in some of the countries concerned. There are said to be connections with terrorist groups in some cases. So this has to be confronted, and it's urgent to do so.
China has now made a great show of burning ivory, burning tusks, and it's one of the big demand countries. Vietnam is another one. Yes, the officials understand that they're not meant to be trading in rhino horn, for instance, but there are many, many reports of people going to so-called traditional medicine shops and being offered rhino horn for everything from a hangover to cancer to whatever else it might be. Mm-hmm. How does one stop the demand?
I think it needs several, we need several ways to attack this. One is governments giving a lead. The governments of China and Vietnam have been here at this conference. They're engaged in this process. We'll work with them a lot more over the next few months and years, so we welcome all of that. And attitudes can change. The Chinese government, for instance, on shark fin soup has taken a lead. Well, that's possible on other things as well. And I think in the modern world with social media, which is well used, including in Asian countries, it is possible for information and understanding and education to spread quickly and attitudes to change. Not everybody realizes that an elephant is killed to obtain ivory. No, some may think that it falls off, some that it is a tooth of an elephant. Not everybody understands that. And getting that understanding across can be done, and it can make a difference to the demand.
Ahora dispone usted de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Christiana Manpour, and welcome to a special edition of our program. My special guest, British Foreign Secretary William Hague, here at Lancaster House, the historic British building that was, in 1979, the site of the agreement that brokered the independence of what was then Rhodesia to today's Zimbabwe. Today, though, this is the site of a equally historic conference, and that is gathering African presidents and others to try to end one of the worst scourges that Africa faces these days, and that is wildlife poaching. It's a trade that's worth nearly $19 billion a year, with poaching of rhinos and elephants at an all-time high. Foreign Secretary Hague, welcome to the program. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Britain is doing this once-in-a-lifetime major poaching conference or anti-poaching conference. There's been a law in effect since 1989 that bans the sale of ivory, and yet it keeps going on. What do you expect to be any different after this conference?
Well, many things, I'm glad to say. I think this will be a turning point, provided we all follow it up, what we've agreed here today. This is an important combination of measures, where African countries and many others are going to take new measures to try to destroy the illegal trade, the illegal markets. They will be destroying stockpiles of ivory. Transit countries will be doing more, the countries through whom these products are transported to intercept them. Countries working together, treating this as serious organized crime. Some of the countries where there is demand for these products in Asia, ivory and rhino horn, have been here at the conference and are talking about what they can do to affect demand.
And why is it so crucial right now, in your view?
It's crucial because we're really at the 11th hour or later than that. Rhino populations have been devastated, with one killed every 10 or 11 hours at the moment. The illegal trade in ivory has doubled in the last 6 years. And this, as well as being a moral issue, that these great animals have as much right to inhabit this world as we do, is also a human issue in many other ways. It is feeding organized crime, corruption in some of the countries concerned. There are said to be connections with terrorist groups in some cases. So this has to be confronted, and it's urgent to do so.
China has now made a great show of burning ivory, burning tusks, and it's one of the big demand countries. Vietnam is another one. Yes, the officials understand that they're not meant to be trading in rhino horn, for instance, but there are many, many reports of people going to so-called traditional medicine shops and being offered rhino horn for everything from a hangover to cancer to whatever else it might be. Mm-hmm. How does one stop the demand?
I think we need several ways to attack this. One is governments giving a lead. The governments of China and Vietnam have been here at this conference. They're engaged in this process. We'll work with them a lot more over the next few months and years, so we welcome all of that. And attitudes can change. The Chinese government, for instance, on shark fin soup has taken a lead. Well, that's possible on other things as well. And I think in the modern world with social media, which is well used, including in Asian countries, it is possible for information and understanding and education to spread quickly and attitudes to change. Not everybody realizes that an elephant is killed to obtain ivory. No, some may think that it falls off, some that it is a tooth of an elephant. Not everybody understands that. And getting that understanding across can be done, and it can make a difference to the demand.
Ahora dispone usted de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Este es el final de la tarea 1. Tarea 2. Escuche la grabación. Escriba su respuesta en el espacio correspondiente. El texto se escuchará 3 veces. Ahora dispone usted de 2 minutos para leer las preguntas.
Extract 1.
And we start today with this question. What's in a voice? To the folks at Wikipedia, the online encyclopedia, a voice apparently means a lot. They've begun a project to archive the voices of famous people. Here to explain more is the project's brainchild Wikipedia expert, Andy Mabbitt. Welcome to the program. So first off, where did this idea come from? Why do this?
Well, being English, it happened in a pub. I was talking to a friend after a Wikipedia conference in London, and he mentioned that he wanted to get more sound files onto Wikipedia. And he was meaning things like engines running and the sound of running water at a waterfall and so on. And I said it would be a good idea to get people's voices too. I wrote a blog post and asked everybody I knew who was the subject of a Wikipedia article to provide a short sample where they tell us their name and a little bit about their background so we know what their voices sound like.
Now, when it comes to the human voice, I mean, what is it that you think people are learning here from hearing someone's voice?
It's a very personal thing. If you think about the people in your own life, you know their voice the moment you hear it, as much as, or sometimes even more so than a photograph. Sometimes you can look at a photograph from 20 years ago and think, is that my partner or neighbor or friend, or is that just somebody who looks like them? With the voice, you know instantly.
Extract 2.
I am alive. Those words can mean a lot when you live in Lebanon, where bombings are a frequent reality. So a Lebanese-born graduate student, Sandra Hassan, has developed an app that lets users get the message out quickly. Just by clicking once, they can instantly tweet the message, "I am still alive, hashtag Lebanon, hashtag latest bombing," and it will appear in their Twitter feed. Several tweets from the app were posted yesterday after a bombing in Beirut. Sandra Hassan says she developed and published the app as kind of a joke, a sort of dark humor. I reached her via Skype in Paris Friday, and I asked her when it changed into something more sincere and sober.
The idea behind the app was something that I had been thinking about for a while. But when I heard the news about the last explosion that happened in Lebanon, I was very frustrated. And my way to express that frustration was to publish this app in the version that is in now. Especially with the predefined hashtags, as kind of a statement against what was happening, a statement of discontent, if you will.
Extract 3.
According to data released by the music streaming service Spotify, 20% of the songs in its catalog have never been listened to. That's about 4 million tracks that have gone unheard on Spotify.
Undiscovered.
And some have simply been forgotten.
That is, until now. Enter Forgotify.com.
Forgotify takes the basically 4 million songs that are on Spotify that have never been played once and plays them.
That's Nate Gagnon, one of the website's co-founders.
It's kind of like what it seems to be is a musical tour through foreign countries and previous decades mostly, but there's some really interesting, cool stuff on there.
Extract 4.
Now, new rules may be coming for the largely unregulated world of virtual currencies. Maybe you've heard of Bitcoin, which is the biggest one, and has many boosters despite being associated with some spectacular crimes. Now, New York State, which is the home of Wall Street, often takes a leading role in regulating financial activity, could become the first state in the nation to write comprehensive regulations for virtual currencies. From member station WNYC, Ilya Meretz reports.
As if to illustrate the need for more oversight of virtual currencies, federal prosecutors on Monday announced the arrests of two men accused of using Bitcoin to help their clients buy and sell over $1 million worth of illegal drugs. Richard Zabel, deputy U.S. attorney in New York, says Bitcoin is fueling a new wave of crime. Not long ago, arms dealers and drug traffickers preferred payment in cash. But moving briefcases full of bills is risky. And today?
By contrast, large amounts of Bitcoins can be transferred anonymously and safely to someone located anywhere in the world with just the click of a computer key.
Ahora dispone usted de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas.
Extract 1.
And we start today with this question. What's in a voice? To the folks at Wikipedia, the online encyclopedia, a voice apparently means a lot. They've begun a project to archive the voices of famous people. Here to explain more is the project's brainchild Wikipedia expert, Andy Mabbitt. Welcome to the program. So first off, where did this idea come from? Why do this?
Well, being English, it happened in a pub. I was talking to a friend after a Wikipedia conference in London, and he mentioned that he wanted to get more sound files onto Wikipedia. And he was meaning things like engines running and the sound of running water at a waterfall and so on. And I said it would be a good idea to get people's voices too. I wrote a blog post and asked everybody I knew who was the subject of a Wikipedia article to provide a short sample where they tell us their name and a little bit about their background so we know what their voices sound like.
Now, when it comes to the human voice, I mean, what is it that you think people are learning here from hearing someone's voice?
It's a very personal thing. If you think about the people in your own life, you know their voice the moment you hear it, as much as, or sometimes even more so than a photograph. Sometimes you can look at a photograph from 20 years ago and think, is that my partner or neighbor or friend, or is that just somebody who looks like them? With the voice, you know instantly.
Extract 2.
I am alive. Those words can mean a lot when you live in Lebanon, where bombings are a frequent reality. So a Lebanese-born graduate student, Sandra Hassan, has developed an app that lets users get the message out quickly. Just by clicking once, they can instantly tweet the message, "I am still alive, #Lebanon, #latestbombing, and it will appear in their Twitter feed. Several tweets from the app were posted yesterday after a bombing in Beirut. Sandra Hassan says she developed and published the app as kind of a joke, a sort of dark humor. I reached her via Skype in Paris Friday, and I asked her when it changed into something more sincere and sober.
The idea behind the app was something that I had been thinking about for a while. But when I heard the news about the last explosion that happened in Lebanon, I was very frustrated. And my way to express that frustration was to publish this app in the version that is in now, especially with the predefined hashtags, as kind of a statement against what was happening, a statement of discontent, if you will.
Extract 3.
According to data released by the music streaming service Spotify, 20% of the songs in its catalog have never been listened to. That's about 4 million tracks that have gone unheard on Spotify.
Undiscovered.
And some have simply been forgotten.
That is, until now. Enter Forgotify.com.
Forgotify takes the basically 4 million songs that are on Spotify that have never been played once and plays them.
That's Nate Gagnon, one of the website's co-founders.
It's kind of like what it seems to be is a musical tour through foreign countries and previous decades mostly, but there's some really interesting, cool stuff on there.
Extract 4.
New rules may be coming for the largely unregulated world of virtual currencies. Maybe you've heard of Bitcoin, which is the biggest one, and has many boosters despite being associated with some spectacular crimes. Now, New York State, which is the home of Wall Street, often takes a leading role in regulating financial activity, could become the first state in the nation to write comprehensive regulations for virtual currencies. From member station WNYC, Ilya Meritz reports.
As if to illustrate the need for more oversight of virtual currencies, federal prosecutors on Monday announced the arrests of two men accused of using Bitcoin to help their clients buy and sell over $1 million worth of illegal drugs. Richard Zabel, deputy U.S. attorney in New York, says Bitcoin is fueling a new wave of crime. Not long ago, arms dealers and drug traffickers preferred payment in cash. But moving briefcases full of bills is risky. And today?
By contrast, large amounts of Bitcoins can be transferred anonymously and safely to someone located anywhere in the world with just the click of a computer key.
Ahora dispone usted de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas.
Extract 1.
And we start today with this question. What's in a voice? To the folks at Wikipedia, the online encyclopedia, a voice apparently means a lot. They've begun a project to archive the voices of famous people. Here to explain more is the project's brainchild Wikipedia expert, Andy Mabbitt. Welcome to the program. So first off, where did this idea come from? Why do this?
Well, being English, it happened in a pub. I was talking to a friend after a Wikipedia conference in London, and he mentioned that he wanted to get more sound files onto Wikipedia. And he was meaning things like engines running and the sound of running water at a waterfall and so on. And I said it would be a good idea to get people's voices too. I wrote a blog post and asked everybody I knew who was the subject of a Wikipedia article to provide a short sample where they tell us their name and a little bit about their background so we know what their voices sound like.
Now, when it comes to the human voice, I mean, what is it that you think people are learning here from hearing someone's voice?
It's a very personal thing. If you think about the people in your own life, you know their voice the moment you hear it, as much as, or sometimes even more so than a photograph. Sometimes you can look at a photograph from 20 years ago and think, is that my partner or neighbor or friend, or is that just somebody who looks like them? With the voice, you know instantly.
Extract 2.
I am alive. Those words can mean a lot when you live in Lebanon, where bombings are a frequent reality. So a Lebanese-born graduate student, Sandra Hassan, has developed an app that lets users get the message out quickly. Just by clicking once, they can instantly tweet the message, "I am still alive, hashtag Lebanon, hashtag latest bombing," and it will appear in their Twitter feed. Several tweets from the app were posted yesterday after a bombing in Beirut. Sandra Hassan says she developed and published the app as kind of a joke, a sort of dark humor. I reached her via Skype in Paris Friday, and I asked her when it changed into something more sincere and sober.
The idea behind the app was something that I had been thinking about for a while. But when I heard the news about the last explosion that happened in Lebanon, I was very frustrated. And my way to express that frustration was to publish this app in the version that is in now, especially with the predefined hashtags, as kind of a statement against what was happening, a statement of discontent, if you will.
Extract 3.
According to data released by the music streaming service Spotify, 20% of the songs in its catalog have never been listened to. That's about 4 million tracks that have gone unheard on Spotify.
Undiscovered.
And some have simply been forgotten.
That is, until now. Enter Forgotify.com.
Forgotify takes the basically 4 million songs that are on Spotify that have never been played once and plays them.
That's Nate Gagnon, one of the website's co-founders.
It's kind of like what it seems to be is a musical tour through foreign countries and previous decades mostly, but there's some really interesting, cool stuff on there.
Extract 4.
New rules may be coming for the largely unregulated world of virtual currencies. Maybe you've heard of Bitcoin, which is the biggest one, and has many boosters despite being associated with some spectacular crimes. Now, New York State, which is the home of Wall Street, often takes a leading role in regulating financial activity, could become the first state in the nation to write comprehensive regulations for virtual currencies. From member station WNYC, Ilya Meritz reports.
As if to illustrate the need for more oversight of virtual currencies, federal prosecutors on Monday announced the arrests of two men accused of using Bitcoin to help their clients buy and sell over $1 million worth of illegal drugs. Richard Zabel, deputy U.S. attorney in New York, says Bitcoin is fueling a new wave of crime. Not long ago, arms dealers and drug traffickers preferred payment in cash. But moving briefcases full of bills is risky. And today?
By contrast, large amounts of Bitcoins can be transferred anonymously and safely to someone located anywhere in the world with just the click of a computer key.
Ahora dispone usted de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Este es el final de la tarea 2.